Thank you, thank you. Wonderful ones. Blessed, blessed Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I feel like rejoicing and being glad in it. Yes, I'm really glad to be here this morning. This is a wonderful season that we're entering in. It is the season of Thanksgiving. It is the season of remembering others, not just ourselves. It is the season, right, of giving and making sure that we are thankful for our own blessings. And so we are going to be also sponsoring a food to aid in the food pantries, to the food bank and all the other things. We're not going to necessarily have the people come, but we will be making donations. So as of next week, if you have any extra items, if you go to the store, I know things are high, but if you can get a pan, you know, one can of peas or a bag of rice or some other kinds of non-perishable items, we'll have some receptacles in the back to receive your gifts, and then we will take them over to the contacts that we have in the city that are actually handing out food. So we want to make sure that we're doing our part spiritually as well as physically, right? We got to put our feet to our prayers, but we also know that the main thing we start is with what? Consciousness, right? We have to make sure that our consciousness is high. And even when the energy and the consciousness around us may feel like things are closing in, or there might be a fear of not enoughness and scarcity, we have to make sure that we guard our own hearts and minds so that we don't fall into that false narrative that is out there. That with God, we know that everything is possible. And with God, we know that there's an inexhaustible source in the universe, that there's no limitation, there is no lack. Once we get that in consciousness and hold that high vibration, we then will be able to draw to us that which is ours, that which we can manifest for ourselves and for others. That's where we want to go and where we want to be. You know, as I was thinking about the times that we're in and how life and the circumstances that we see happening, not only in this country, but around the world, how they're actually pulling us into a higher and higher version of our better selves, of our better selves. Yes, indeed, we also know it may look like the opposite is happening. And it is. We are witnessing cruelty. We are witnessing greed. We are witnessing non-empathy. We are witnessing a disconnect from our shared humanity and morality. I mean, we see it in some of the actions of our leaders and politicians who are voting against people, children, elderly, those who are disabled from having food on their table, so that they can get a bigger tax cut. So we see it all. That is truly happening. But at the very same time what is happening, we are witnessing people waking up. We are witnessing, right? People who've been asleep are now saying, wait a minute, what? There are no illegals. There are undocumented people, but there's no one who does not belong to the community, to humanity. Wait a minute. They're waking up and they're seeing injustice that has been perpetrated in our country for lo these many, many, many years. But they were asleep because it wasn't affecting them. So at the same time, there's a revolution happening where people, the shackles are falling from their eyes and they're beginning to see, well, wait a minute. We are one. I am my brother's or my sister's keeper. Wait a minute. You just can't round people up and throw them into jail or prison without due process. Wait a minute. You can't just starve children. Wait a minute. You can't have concentration camps. So it's happening. While on the one hand, we see all this lower vibration, and on the other hand, we see this waking up that is happening. And it's a really good thing. So what I'm thinking about is that we see people feeding each other. I saw on YouTube where a lady just had outside a house where they had those little book book bins where you can come and take a book. She put food in there. She took all the books out. She said, anybody can come and just grab something. And it's like, I see all these little things happening. People are feeding one another. They're protecting one another. They're standing up for one another. And they're consciously doing this now, consciously to take conscious efforts and choosing to take a higher path. Whereas before they were asleep because it wasn't them. It didn't affect them. And now they're like, woo. So this is a great thing that I think that is happening because it's leading us to what I consider the apex of our shared humanity and our universal oneness. People are getting to see that more so than ever before. So yes, on one hand, it's some scary times. This is scary stuff that we're experiencing. And at the same time, it's some exciting stuff that we are having the opportunity to see. And the key is not to get down or to get stuck in the muck and the mire of the low end of the human condition, the low end of the spectrum, the low end of the vibrations, because the human condition has a range. We have the apex of that altruistic great part of who we are, you know, the loving, giving kind, the super ego, not the limited ego or the id, the base. And then we have the lower vibration. But we cannot get stuck there. We have to find ways to keep ourselves moving toward that higher end because both exist. And we're getting to see the levels of both in this society that's happening. And while I was doing a lot, you know, I try to keep up. I'm trying to stay current with whatever's happening because I think it's my spiritual duty to know what's happening so that I can put forth the spiritual consciousness and the energy and do the work spiritually. But I've got to know what's happening. But I also know that when I read these things and I check, keep up with the, that it has sometimes a deleterious effect on my own being. That it can be. I was talking with a good friend and we were talking about, you know, how it can weigh you down and cause it, you could be depressed about, oh my God, I can't, what happened to truth? People don't tell the truth anymore. And what happened, all this greed, and it can just bring you down. And so I thought, yeah, but you know what? I've got to work against that. I have to notice when all of these things, when I'm letting the consciousness that's out here affect me instead of what? Me affecting the consciousness. Me imparting. So you really do have to work with how can you maintain your state of well-being. And I'm thinking, therefore, it's really important to protect your heart and your soul. Protect your heart and your soul while we do this great work. There's a wonderful verse that I've always loved, and it's found in Proverbs 23:7. As one thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, there's a book called As a Man Thinketh in His Heart by James. So is he. And then As a Woman Thinketh in Her Heart, so is he. But the Bible just says, as one thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I've always been fascinated by the concept of thinking with your heart or thinking in and from your heart. Is vastly different than just thinking with what? Your head. Because what that phrase tells me is that your thoughts should not just rest in your head alone or not just come from your head alone. That in fact, the best place for your thoughts to reside is in your heart. The best place for your thoughts to come from and to emanate from is where? From your heart. Because when the thoughts that you are thinking come from your heart, they will lead you into something greater. When you really learn to think with your heart, you're onto something. You're onto something very powerful. Why? Because the heart is the instrument that carries the greater wisdom of the soul. The heart carries more wisdom than your head, which might carry your intellect, right? Your intellect is promoted by reason, which we need to have and use. But your wisdom is promoted by spirit or by divine understanding. And let's face it, anything that really comes from or is laced with the spirit energy, that thing then is automatically higher and better than anything that will come solely from the head, from your mind, right? And so what we're looking for is, how can I make sure that I'm touching and feeling and being connected to the things of spirit? Because when I lace my thoughts, my actions, my activities, my understanding, when I lace that all, that is laced with spirit, it's going to be automatically better for me and better for others. Better for those whom I interact with. Because that's the way spirit works. When something is better for me, it's going to automatically be better for you. Right? Because if I'm coming from my highest self to meet you, even if you're in your lower self, my higher self is going to be better for you and me. For our relationships, right? Because maybe we have disagreements in our relationships, but if I'm coming from the higher, better part of me, that's going to bless our relationship, because the vibration I'm putting forward is going to be of higher vibration that will raise the vibration that you also have. What is it? One boat, or what is it? How does the phrase? A boat rises all boats. How does that go? A rising tide lifts all boats. Thank you. You see, so when my vibration is high, your vibration is going to be lifted whether you like it or not. So this is really important for us to understand, well, where is my energy coming from? Where are my thoughts coming from? I'm going to be better. So what this says to me is that I want to make sure that I'm always coming from my heart. Now, I want you to understand that your heart can heal your soul. Your heart can heal your soul as well as your body. Right? The heart heals the soul and it heals the body as well. So I'm talking about heart and soul this morning. So your soul, let me get a little teacher. You know, sometimes I like to teach, sometimes I like to preach, sometimes I like to do them both. But I want us to understand, because what came to me this morning is that we really must continue to be active metaphysicians. We look at life differently. We respond to life differently. We act in the world differently than others as a metaphysician, right? And I already decided I'm going to do a series on the metaphysical Christian, because there's a whole other thing about Christianity that's been hijacked or whatever. But we're not your ordinary Christians. We are what? Metaphysicians. We are metaphysical Christians. So I'm not going to give you that talk this morning, so come on, bring it on back. I'm talking about your heart and your soul. Your soul, spiritually and metaphysically, the definition that Mr. Fillmore said, your soul is the sum total of your awareness, or the sum total of your consciousness. Your soul is the sum total of all your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes, your perceptions, your character, your energy field, right? Your internal landscape, your inner world. All of that can be comprised as your soul. Now, I want you to bear with me. Your inner world, or your soul, or your consciousness, affects your body, which affects also your experiences, which affects your reactions, right? And in essence, it affects everything about your life. Because we have a saying that life is consciousness. Life is consciousness. So your soul or your consciousness affects everything that happens in your life, right? And so if that's true, then we need to make sure that our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes, our feelings, our character, our energy, our internal landscape, our world, right, our inner world is on point. Because it's going to affect everything else in our experience. So we want to make sure that with all of this negative energy that is flying around, and it's out there, just like this positive energy, that people doing good, there are also people out there, you know, trying to scam the people that are sending donations to Jamaica. Who would do that? But people do that. So we're not going to be naive to think there aren't people who are off on the wrong path. And so with all this negative stuff that is in fact happening, we have to make sure that we're guarding what we are allowing to enter into our consciousness, allowing to enter into our life or into our souls that are going to affect our experiences, because it will take a toll on us. If I don't know how to apply the truth positively, I'll be subjected to all this negative energy because it's out there and it's depressing. You know, I keep saying, wow, this is the human condition. And if I focus on that, it brings my vibration what down. And it's taking a toll. So I've got to learn how to work with what is. How to work with what's out there, but how to keep myself on the right track and on the right path. So that I can remember our whole series on, you know, being a conscious manifestor. We're here to really affect the world, to bring light to the world, right? And so we have to do that, understanding how do we keep ourselves buoyed up in the spirit, you know, having all of the wonderful safeguards around us so that we can affect the world and not have the world affect us. This is what we're all about. So we want to make sure that we are using, you know, our soul or our consciousness or our mind or our hearts to use it in a way that is a blessing for us and for the world. And to understand the nature of how we're built spiritually as well as physically. I don't know if you remember years ago, there was some experiments done to show the effects of negative words and thoughts and the effects of positive words and thoughts on things like water, plants, and people. And the one famous one that I love, the body, came from the Japanese scientist. His name was Masaru Emoto. And what he did was, his specialty was to work with water. And he would take pictures, right? So before he took the pictures, he would have certain batches, batch of water here and a batch of water here. And he would have people or himself and others come, and they would speak positively to the water. Oh, how beautiful, how good, how thankful we are, you know, that this is the nourishment, the elixir of life. What wonderful works. And they would speak positively to the water. And then this batch of water, it was, you're muddy, grimy, dirty, limited, you know, you're like a dirty river, blah, 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 negative words. And then he would take pictures with a special camera, right, of the glasses of water that were spoken to positively and the glasses of water that received negative words. And the water that received the positive word, those pictures came out. They were beautiful. They were resonant patterns, harmonic patterns, you know, looking like wonderful, beautiful snowflakes, just soothing, smooth, symmetrical, balanced, harmonious images. The images of the water spoken negatively. What can you imagine those images were? Asymmetrical. Right? Harsh, jagged edges, nothing smooth, nothing connected, jagged, this horrible, disconnected molecules. Molecules here that were working together, that were harmonious and beautiful, and molecules that were jagged and discordant and separate. Now, the reason that this part is important, because do you know what percentage of water we are? We're more than that. I looked at it. I said, let me look at it. So when we're born with about 75% of us is water. And then it changes after the first year. It drops down to about 65. So anywhere between 65 and 60, 40, science is a little different, is percentage of water that we are made up of. So what does that say for us? That if we are basically water beings, not just flesh and blood, but we are of the water, we have the living waters of spirit that indwell us, literally and figuratively. That if we then can speak positive words to our own bodies, to our own being, we can create a resonant, harmonic being and body that brings about healing and wholeness. Right? The same thing was experimented by another group of people that was done with plants. And the plants that were spoken positively about, they grew and they thrived and they were lush and they were green. The plants that were spoken negatively about, what? Shriveled, wilted, grew spindly, did not thrive. We are plant beings. We eat a lot of plant food. And when we speak of what we're putting in the body, whether it's water or food, we need to make sure that we are speaking positively about anything that we not only enter into the body physically, but into the mind. And the fact that there were also experiments done with prayer in hospitals. They experimented in some people that were prayed for, that were in the hospital healing. Guess what they did? They healed quicker and faster and more complete than people with similar conditions who were not prayed for. Now, we know this as true students. We understand the power, but sometimes we forget. We can use the truth that we know to better our being and to better this world. It's very, very powerful. So our heads and our hearts, our soul and our head, heart and soul play a very big part in whether we are going to be beings that are walking around in a resonant state of being, meaning head, heart, body, soul, mind is all resonating together, that there's peace in the body, peace in the mind. Mr. Filmer used to say a mind of peace precedes bodily healing, but in terms of healing that heart, making sure we're vibing at a certain level of vibration so that we can walk around and do what we need to do. And to be in accordance with this wonderful healing energy. Now, I said all this to say because I want us to understand the power of the heart. I said your heart can heal your soul. It can also heal your body. And the reason I said it is because the heart is the strongest organ in your being. A lot of times people think it's the mind or the brain, right? But you can be brain dead and still be what? Alive. But when your heart dies is when you are truly dead. Your heart controls and rules everything about your life, even your life itself. And it is the strongest organ. And the heart has the capacity to bring everything else in the body into a resonance of harmony and healing. And we forget this because, you know, whether we're talking about your metaphorical heart, your spiritual heart, or your biological heart, it is the heart that is at the center of your life, literally and figuratively. There's a wonderful organization called HeartMath. I don't know if any of you all know about HeartMath, and I've spoken about it. It's an organization, a HeartMath Institution, and they have done lots of scientific research about the qualities and power of the heart. And one of the things that they work with is helping people to understand how to use your heart to affect change, changing your body, and changing your situations and your outlook and your vibration. And so what they say is that feelings of gratitude, thanksgiving, blessings, joy, appreciation are feelings that stimulate the heart, that cause the heart to vibrate at a higher level. One that then has the ability to bring all the other systems in the body into alignment. Okay? So this is very powerful because what we're trying to do when we have all these discordant thoughts going on, it causes what? It disrupts the balance and the equilibrium of our being. And then we're depressed, we're down, we're sick, we have disease, we have, what is disease? Dis-ease. We have all that in the body. And so it's like understanding the heart as not just a metaphysical and spiritual vessel, which it is. We want to come from there. But even using that biological heart to bring yourself into peace, into alignment, right? And if, you know, so what they have is, let's say, for an example, because you want to access the wisdom of the heart, the energy of the heart, literally and figuratively. But for example, suppose you want to get some guidance or some direction for your life, or you want to make a change in your life. Using the heart math example, you would do this. And this is how you are using your heart to affect positive change in your body or in your mind or in your circumstances. So we want directions and guidance. And what they say is the first step is you want to generate the vibrations of praise, thanksgiving, joy, happiness. Because when you can feel those things, it's a vibration that is real. We talk about it spiritually. Mr. Fillmore says you can praise a weak body into strength. He says that, you know, praise is the thing, it's the most highly accelerated mind action. The moment you begin to praise, the moment you begin to thank, you know, give thanksgiving, the moment you feel joy, all of a sudden you open up, your space opens up, your heart opens up, your vibration is raised, and you begin to have the capacity to do what? Draw greater things unto you because you're vibrating at a higher level. Right? So that's what Mr. Fillmore, and he was on to this back in the 1800s. Okay, so heart math is catching up. That's good. I love science. It's finally catching up to spirit. But what they'll say is the first thing you want to do, all right, I have a perplexing question, or I want some direction, or I want some guidance, or I want to heal a relationship, you know, or I want to, you know, make sure, is this the right job for me? Whatever it is. He says, before you get into the problem solving and the working on that, that's coming from where? The head. You're trying to figure it out. Leave that alone. He says, then begin to simply generate the feeling of gratitude, praise, joy, appreciation, whatever it is. All right? Because the moment you generate those feelings, the vibration in your being, in your body mass, in your whole, your soul, begins to shift and change. He says, now once you are feeling it, don't just get hung up in thinking it and saying it, because as a person thinketh in their what? Heart. So is he. So you got to feel it. That's how you think with your heart. You got to what? Feel it. So as you generate the feeling of gratitude, thanksgiving, joy, whatever it is, it starts to stimulate and open up. Once you get the feeling generated and that joy is starting to reverberate in your being, you can stop thinking about that thing and ask your question. Should I take this job? And the moment you stop and you ask that question, in the midst of that high vibration, the answer will come pure, clear, and just as simple, because it's coming not from where? Not from the head that's going to give you, well, if you do, because I get all lost up in my head. I will overthink something to death because it's my nature. But this helps because you're not thinking about it with your head. The heart gives you the wisdom and says, take it or no. And it's not going to give you all these long sentences. If you find yourself getting this answer that has a paragraph, guess what that's coming from? Your head. So you practice this on simple things. But to get to the wisdom that's pure and clear, you got to generate that vibration in your heart, right? Of joy, because it opens you up, it cuts through all the stuff, and then ask the question. And use that. It's so powerful. So this morning I was sitting in my chair. Whenever I write my talks, I get up early in the morning and I sit and look at my window. And I'm loving watching the seasons. I said, oh, look at the seasons. And it was the beauty of all of the leaves that changed. It was gold and, you know, red and yellow. And I just sat there saying, oh, how beautiful. I was revelating. I was delighting in the beauty. You know, the scripture says delight in the Lord. There's a reason why we're told to delight in God. Because it brings more of God, right presence. So I was delighting in God by delighting in the beauty. And I just sat there and I could feel myself just opening up. And then I began my thank you for my life. I'm thankful that I'm here today. I wasn't feeling, I ended up, I didn't tell you, but I had to go to the hospital a couple, just for a little something that had developed and whatever. And I had a week to rest, and I want to thank my youngest brother came from Missouri to take care of me and my mom. So, yeah. So that I could get a rest, I stayed in the bed, I did what they told me to do, I didn't eat, didn't drink much, and just had all of that, but it enabled me to be here today, and I'm getting better and better, so I just said, ooh, thank you. I just started giving gratitude. Thank you for the beauty that I can see with my eyes. I love it when the trees come out in the spring and it's green. I'm grateful for that. And look at this. The trees are dropping their leaves. How beautiful. And when the winter comes and I'm going to be, oh, thank you for this wonderful beauty that I see. It was just the vibration of my gratitude that shifted my whole morning, my whole being. See, so we know we're called practical Christianity. It's not about just talking it. It's about using these principles to create effect in our lives, to shift and change the vibration. So I had been down a little bit. I was like, okay, another thing. What else is coming, Lord? What? And now it's like, okay, whatever. Come on. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be present. I'm going to keep my spirit up, because if I don't do the things I know, my spirit can just go right down into the doldrums and the why me's and the what for's and then I won't want to get out of bed because I just don't feel like getting out of bed. It won't be that I'm in the bed resting and healing, and doing what I needed to do to strengthen me. So we have these wonderful tools. This is a method that we can use, and I'm sharing it because we need these practical things. I'm not the only one that is feeling what's going on around here in this world right now. We're all subjected to it. It's in the race consciousness. And so we know how to combat that. We know how to work with that. We know how to shift that so that we can be the lighthouses, And when someone else may be down, our vibration can pick them up. So, find somebody to bless. Listen, if you don't have much, whatever you have, you can still share it. The widow's mite, she only had 2 pennies. And Jesus and all the other Pharisees and the Sadducees had a whole bunch of money, and they were given because they wanted to be seen as prosperous and great, and they wanted to have great places of honor. And she came with her 2 pennies, her widow's mite. And Jesus said, you see her? She's giving from where? Her heart. And what she gives will multiply and do much more than someone who's giving from that poor consciousness. They may be rich in the manifestation, but poor in consciousness, and that's not going to last long. But if you are rich in your consciousness, you will draw the things that you need to you. You got to come from the heart. Come from that higher vibration. Think with your heart, which means to feel deeply. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart diligently, for out of it comes the issues of life. All them issues you have are coming from how you're working with your heart and your soul. And we want to work with the heart and soul of the divine, of God. We want to work with the heart and soul that speaks to the greater vibration of good. We want to be a force for good in the world. We want to bless people. You always have something to bless somebody else with. You always have something to give. I don't care if it's just a smile to the stranger or the person who's in the line and you say, here, let me help you, move your car. Whatever it is, we have something to give. And so this is the time when we need to keep ourselves buoyed up, find something to do positive, to share, to bless, to give. Keep that energy flowing. Keep your heart open, because if you don't, we're going to sink and collapse inward under the weight of the negativity that is in this world. Amen. But we are the light. Amen. We know how to open up. We're the lighthouse. We're the ones. But we must make sure we take the time to keep ourselves buoyed up. The fact that you are here today, and those of you who are out online, we thank you. But you're here today, and guess what? Your presence is vibing each other, lifting each other up. You may think that it's not. Just being together, you are creating a field of energy for one another that makes it easier for you to step into, makes it easier for you to be blessed. Even when you came in here this morning and you might be feeling down, the vibration and the energy that we create collectively can lift you up. What is it? A rising tide lifts all boats. So we're doing a great work with each other and for each other. And I thank you. I thank you for being here. I thank you for those who you are still tuning in. I thank you for the gifts that you give, whether it's the widow's mite or an abundance of whatever. I thank you. We are here for each other. We are here to be light vessels for this world. But we must practice what? For ourselves. We must apply. We are practical Christians. We have practical Christianity, right? We are metaphysicians. So it's time for us to do our work. Let's go. Amen. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings.